Devin Dillon, you listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome, everybody, to, I guess it's episode 19.
It might be 20.
I think let's go with 20 yeah, because it's 20. The first time we've done this live.
We haven't done Lori and Matt's yet, so it might be 20. Like we did it, but we're
just going with it's 20 because that's a nicer round number. And we are here at Bristol Community College at the Teaching, Learning, and Student Development Conference. How are you doing, Jonah?
I'm good. We're having a bit of a crisis at the house, my house, not this house, but my house specifically. And Kate's going to love this. But I have a chicken. Her name is Brandy Carlisle. And she is transitioning from a female to a male in real time, which happens in one out of 10,000 chickens. If there's not a rooster in the hen house, they will adopt the behaviors of roosters. And this one absolutely is. And we're not sure what to do about it. Probably nothing, except we're not allowed to have roosters. On our property, and this Brandy Carlisle crows every morning at 5:30. So we figure what we're gonna do about it. So
who would have thought that this was gonna turn into
every episode
equity conversation?
I thought you were gonna say who would have thought we're gonna talk about chickens on this podcast. I promise people every episode. So
well, this is very exciting. So for those of you who are listening, this is the first time that we've done this in front of people.
Yeah, that's and why I keep turning to look at
it's
them.
Kind like of it's awkward, but we're gonna get through it. And our very first guest when we did the podcast was my colleague, Dr. Christina Nguyen. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm great. I mean, it's actually really fun to see all these people in the room. And when you're like, our very first guest, like that was, what, a year ago?
It was a year ago. It was.
So you make it sound like it was a long time ago.
Yeah, December 24.
Yeah. I mean, it's felt like a long time, Christina.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me. We actually, when we did the podcast the first time, mm-hmm. We had scripted it much more so than we have it now, and it was really bad. And
it was really bad.
During the break,
Adam was shaking.
Yeah.
Like you could see.
But
his,
also,
like
I wouldn't laugh either.
Flapping.
So, like, I muted myself every time you were talking, so I never laughed. And so it's just this, like, crickets the whole thing.
It was stodgy and awkward.
So we scrapped it. You know what I never told you, though, is that we actually weren't recording for that whole episode. Alzi and I accidentally forgot to hit record for 2/3 of that episode. So the fact that we did throw it out, I was like, this is awesome. This was the worst episode we've ever done because we forgot to hit record.
But while we were doing it, we like actually started talking like this and we thought it was a much better podcast. So we were like, let's scrap it. Uh-huh. Let's try this again. So actually, this is the third time that you've been on the podcast.
This is the third time you've been on the podcast. That's true.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we'll see. It's still early.
We'll see.
So
fair enough.
So unlike usually, people don't necessarily know who you are.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When we normally assume that when we have guests on, our listeners know who they are. But Christina, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've done at Berkshire over the last 16 years.
That's right.
I think you just celebrated your anniversary.
I will celebrate my anniversary on May 3rd. It'll be 16 years that I've been with Berkshire Community College.
Should I insert an applause track there for me, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting that we're Berkshire Community College at Bristol Community College. Yeah. And so the two BCCs coming together is kind of fun. So I appreciate
but we're the first BCC.
I appreciate that. So I started at BCC in marketing, actually. So Schwa just found this out a little while ago. I was like the newest of the marketing team. And he's like, oh, you worked here before?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, a long time ago.
That was like 20 jobs ago, right?
Yeah, I've been around. And now I'm the chief financial officer at the college and working in administration and finance. It's been really fun. So,
yeah. It's totally different.
Very different.
I can't wait to have your job.
We used to spend a lot of money.
Oh, Jonah, please not.
Now I try to save a lot of money.
Anyone who knows me with numbers, you wouldn't let me near anything. So,
no, probably not.
No, definitely not.
It is interesting to think about. I mean, you've had a very circuitous career path.
That's a really nice way to say it. Thank you.
Yes. But it's interesting because you spent a lot of your career in marketing specifically.
Yes.
And we'll probably talk about this a little bit more later on. You've done a lot of different things at the college. But I think you really enjoyed marketing and some of the creativity of it. And I guess I'm curious, how do you kind of keep your cup filled as you have moved into much more financial work?
Well, that's a really good question. The work that I do in finance and administration is very different than marketing, because I remember being on the other side when I first joined BCC and being very worried that I was overspending on my budget and like probably was overspending on my budget quite a bit, and would kind of go with my tail between my legs, and I'm so sorry. And at the time, we had this fabulous CFO who totally always understood.
Who just walked in the room.
Just walked in the room, right? Our president, Ellen Kennedy, is here.
Another clap check, please.
Yeah, right? I want all applause.
All
like,
the applause. Like, standing ovation.
Yeah.
But really actually very much understood kind of putting your money where your mouth is in terms of marketing communications, and was very invested in that. So I really appreciated that. But now I'm on the other side. So I have sort of come full circle. And sometimes I'll see invoices across my desk and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money for that thing. Uh-huh. And do we really need to spend that kind of money? And Jonah and Adam will be like, well, you got to, you know. So it's interesting to sort of be on the other side of that equation and to be trying to pinch pennies a bit as opposed to spend money.
Do you remember when our old comptroller took away your pro card?
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, the receipts weren't in on time, so you lost the pro card. I used mine once because you didn't have one.
When I first came to BCC, Christina worked for me, and this is all true. So she was the person who I would have to go to the business office and be like, can you please give our director of marketing access to her credit card again, because we actually do need to market the campus. And he'd be like, well, yes, but she didn't, you know, fill out the TPT report or whatever it was. But we'd get it figured out. And now I will be the one who gets the call from Christina. Are you really spending money on letter jackets for the marketing team?
But I do submit my receipts on time.
You do that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you to our live studio audience here. We're going to take our first break, and we will be back right after this.
You're listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.
I'm sure you've already heard about this, or read about this in this case. But, you know, in case you're not checking your email, which is precisely why we created these commercials in the first place, the college is renovating Field 102 conference room, part of the IT department offices, and the Ollie office space to create an HVAC learning lab on campus for our workforce and community education students. Ollie will be moving into a space that was previously the bookstore, and some IT offices will relocate to Megan McBain's offices near the new bookstore, which also used to be the General Bartlett room. This new HVAC lab will train our students in a high-paying, high-demand field, so expect renovations this fall and for a cohort of HVAC students to start in fall 2027.
So we are back. Thank you. This is our second segment of our interview with Christina Nguyen, who is the CFO at Berkshire Community College. And as we talked about in the first segment, Christina was our very first guest. She at least pretends like she listens to the podcast.
She does. She does. She catches all of my Easter eggs, and she'll tell me about them.
So Christina, maybe it would be interesting for you to say nice things about us in front of these people.
I think I call this question super meta. So yeah. If you wouldn't mind.
I really have loved listening to the podcast. I think when people think about a podcast, they often think about this sort of like very scripted, highly edited dialogue that can be like really heady and existential. And that's not what you do at all. So,
No.
And I mean that in the...
And if we do, then we're failing.
Right. So, like, but I mean that in the most fun way, because I think that you went into it thinking it was going to be one thing and maybe it's pivoted and become something else where it's a bit more informal. Mm-hmm. And because it's an audience that is directed internally to people who understand or are trying to understand the college from the inside out as opposed from the outside in, getting to know people on a different level and getting to hear from them and hear their stories has been really fun. So, you know, getting to hear from Colin Wilson about his experience with the bees and how that was like one of the first things he did on campus. Because I remember when we had this bee incident on our campus and Colin came out with a bee suit, I thought, oh, wow, he's like a real beekeeper. That was like his first day being a beekeeper. But you never would have known that. He was calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like Bree Booker from SGA, who is a phenomenal student. I mean, just incredibly... She's going places for sure. And to hear her speak and the way she spoke about Tony and the way she spoke about Erica Beretta, like it's so heartwarming to hear that. And you can really feel the passion and the genuine love from for people in like very different ways that you wouldn't feel if you were just asking them regular questions about what are you studying or what right, do you right. do here? It's right. different.
One of the things that I think we are trying to do is after COVID and changes that happened in general to everyone across the world, but it's at BCC, like community is our middle name and we take that very seriously. And in our isolated Western part of the Commonwealth, we're very unique in that we really, really support each other and we support our students. And that's what we're really known for. In fact, our branding proves that. And I think one of the things that we were missing COVID and then getting back into work was like that sense of community had sort of changed just because the world had changed. And so to some extent, you know, I hear from folks in the hallway, they're like, we used to do this thing in the Falcon's Nest, and we don't do that anymore. And that's something that we don't have that sense of community anymore. We need more of that. And I hope, and that's what one of our goals is, that this podcast can be that sense of community, because just getting to know people so that they're not just another employee or another colleague, but knowing them more personally, I think that's what makes us more unique, I think.
I think so too. And I think one of the things that's been really fun about this is not just getting to know people, which is really fun,
yeah.
and people doing all kinds of really interesting things like beekeeping and having all these really varied interests and kind of eclectic things about them. But there are these common themes that are always centered around being mission focused, mm-hmm. about really caring about the students that we serve, about really caring about the community that we serve. And one of the wonderful things about being in the Berkshires is that we're in nature, and yeah. our campus is this beautiful spot. And that's a theme that keeps on coming mm-hmm. up, is using the space that we are that we're lucky enough to be inhabiting as kind of a learning space, which I think is also an interesting segue to another big part of your job. It's not just finance, but it is taking care of the classrooms, the grounds, all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, the facilities and grounds and infrastructure. Yeah, that's a really fun component of what we do. And I know one of your last guests was Tom Tining, and mm-hmm. I know you're not mm-hmm. a big fan of the snakes, Jonah, but I very much am. I love going up to the Hoffman Environmental Center.
Yeah, really?
Yes, very much. And was there for over the summer when they were measuring some of the rattlesnakes,
and
they were and it was so cool to be in that space, and to see what we do there, both with students and on the faculty side. But it's a complex organization that was built, you know, in Pittsfield in the early 1970s, and then in infrastructure and grounds have come a long way, and it's a beautiful place, but it's got its challenges, mm-hmm. as many of the, you know, older buildings do in the Commonwealth, as far as deferred maintenance go and the ebb and flow of having a larger size enrollment and a shrinking size enrollment and then expanding again. So yep. that has been really interesting to see as well and kind of keep pace with.
Yeah, and I think you alluded to this, but the former CFO became the president, and
she's the best president we've ever had.
And that is, I'm sure, true. But also, honestly, I think that a big part of President Kennedy's legacy is the complete transformation of our campus. The buildings have been completely renovated. The care of the physical plant has been kind of the top of the list in a lot of ways. And I think when guests come to campus, they'll often say, I haven't been on campus for 15, yep. 20, 25 years. And I cannot believe the transformation that it's gone through. We are going through a presidential transition at the moment, and we're bringing in someone, I guess I don't know as much about her background kind of with facilities. What do you think it's going to mean for A&F to have a transition from someone who really knows your work maybe better than you do to someone who comes from more of an academic side?
That's interesting. I think it sort of remains to be seen, right? I mean, the campus and many community colleges are known for taking something that was beautiful and industrial and sort of shaping it into something that is more modern, kind of the evolution behind that. And when you walk onto our campus, you see that it's light, it's color. There's fixtures that are modern that are also blended with things that are a little bit more retro, and that's pretty mm-hmm. cool to see and feel. And Ellen has really had that aesthetic throughout, really interested in like taking advantage of the natural light, something that she's really hit home. But that's her presidency, and that I think that's a legacy that you'll see, that you continue to see live on. But I don't know. I haven't had those conversations, and it's kind of hard to tell at this point. But I think once you start going down that direction of let's use natural light and let's make spaces that are gathering spaces and create things that are modern and colorful and fun, that I think you want to keep doing. doing that. And so I would imagine that that's probably the direction we'll want to keep on going.
One of the things that's interesting, again, I keep going back to the branding survey we just launched because I just have so much data from it. And it's really, really interesting. But we did the same survey in 2018, and then we did it again recently. And what we saw climb up in our numbers was the things that thing you think about with BCC, what words come to mind? And inclusivity and access. My husband is playing the Spotify and it just disconnected and went to my phone. So schwa, pause for edit. No, we're keeping that in. That's great. I think that was Mumford and Sons. Anyway, so is the
shrinking song.
Right? It was. Yeah. So access and inclusivity climbed a lot. And if you think about that, that's a lot of that could be said to be because of what we've done with the facility specifically, making it more accessible in general, which is what we're
Absolutely.
All about. So,
yeah.
And I think one of the things that's important is that infrastructure isn't just buildings, it's IT. Mm-hmm. And I think that same level of care has really transformed our institution under both President Kennedy's leadership and yours. So we'll go to our next break and we will be back right after this.
I've mentioned these two things in the last two episodes of this podcast, Could Have Been an Email. One is to make sure you RSVP for the community celebration in honor of President Ellen Kennedy, which is taking place on Thursday, June 4th. The event starts promptly at 4 p.m. And the other is that if you are one of the 17% of employees at BCC who are also an alum of the college, or if you know of any alum, be sure to check out or share the BCC reunion taking place at Balderdash in Richmond on Saturday, June 6th. Both events are on our website, so be sure to check them out and register for them as soon as you can.
And welcome back to this podcast. Could have been an email. BCC broadcasting live at the other BCC, Bristol Community College. Really appreciate, I honestly want to say this, really appreciate the entire Bristol Community College staff for being so hospitable. Ellen and I were talking about this. It's going to be hard to imagine this conference being anywhere else because you all put it on so well, but particularly really, really appreciative of the IT team here that has set us up with
Seriously.
A little makeshift studio and allowed us to be recording here. So just an enormous amount of gratitude to our colleagues at Bristol and my friend Kate, who's sitting right in the front making me nervous.
And one of the things that we were talking earlier about the equipment that we're using for this podcast, and we don't use any of this equipment for our podcast, but it's in the budget for next year. You might have seen a little line item. So we're going to start investing.
The budget that just passed on Tuesday. So
exactly. Yeah. So it's still in there. So it hasn't changed. So our goal is to
Congratulations to us.
We're going to have a much more mobile opportunities for the podcast. So I'm not behind the booth, because this is a different dynamic, I think. When I'm behind the booth and like I don't see people like coming into the interrupt us either sometimes, it's good. I think this is it's better for me at least to have this instead of being isolated. So.
Yeah, I was at the Achieving the Dream conference earlier this year in Portland, and this guy from Australia did a podcast with me, and I sat in the middle of a busy hall,
right.
And he slapped a microphone on me, had a computer, recorded it, and I just sent it to Jonah, and, mm-hmm. and we listened to it, and it actually sounds great.
It was great. You did a really nice job.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Back to the guests.
Okay, yeah. Back to Christina. So, Christina, how do you perceive the community college system across the Commonwealth has changed, and what do you think is our collective next thing that we should be thinking about? And I guess we've had the benefit of being here all day and kind of really being able to think about that.
I mean, I think the obvious next thing for us to be thinking about is AI, right? Yeah. Like that's on everyone's mind. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it from the CFO perspective. We're do a convening of all the Mass Community College CFOs and actually the state universities as well in June. And that everybody has just been asking about how we're incorporating artificial intelligence in the work that we do, or how you put guardrails up, or how you build policy behind it, or how you keep things safe. And so I think that's a very obvious kind of next evolution, not only from the work that we do in keeping those things safe, but kind of upskilling and reskilling people into jobs that are going to lead some way, shape, or form into doing AI work or using the tools for AI. I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, in some way, shape, or form, I think most of us are interacting with that on a pretty regular basis. It might just be through your Siri when you're getting directions in the car, but it's definitely becoming more prevalent. And so I think that as community colleges, we are keeping pace. In fact, the last session that we were just in was Peter from Middlesex Community College, who was talking about AI and the ways that they're thinking about utilizing it, not only from a college standpoint, but from across the state and even nationally. So, I don't think it's any surprise that that's really, I think, on the next cusp of what's big.
As a young leader in higher education,
thank you.
You're welcome. Wow. I thought you'd like that.
Did you lose a bet? No.
she's pretty young for the big job that she has
got. True. That's true.
But as a young leader in higher education, we're like on a scale of 1 to 10. Where are you as an AI user? And maybe
like
talk a little
10,
bit.
You are AI. 1, you're 11, right?
So 1, you're afraid of the Matrix or the Terminator happening for real. Ooh. 10, you're kind of using it all the time. And why would you rank yourself?
So I've never seen The Matrix. I know.
Wow.
But I have seen The Terminator. So I'm not afraid of that.
And Terminator I'm not 2 Judgment Day?
Of course.
Christina has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and may have accidentally showed it to them.
I forgot how.
That's actually great.
I forgot. I was like, oh, geez, this is probably not appropriate. But we're here. So I use AI every day in some way, shape, or form. But it's really to like kind of augment something as a sounding board for something else. If I'm writing something and I just think I don't like that word or I don't like that phrasing and I want to just change it or tweak it a little bit, or I want some ideas to generate, I'm not really sure about this, so how might I approach it, or what would a template look like if I were to create it? So more idea generation or something like that. So I don't think I'm on the expert scale, but I don't think that I'm a novice either. So I think I'm probably middle of the road.
6.5.
6.5, sure.
One thing that you did. That
6.7.
6.7. That's for the high school kids.
All right, just want to pause for edit.
I think one thing you actually used AI to do that was really effective and kind of cool was we moved our cafeteria downstairs. It was on the main level, and we were really thinking about different spaces. And Christina like went and took pictures of the spaces and asked AI to reimagine them.
Yeah.
And I think it was like really good change management.
It was good. The cafeteria space didn't go as well, but I said, oh, what would the bookstore look like if it was over here? And that one actually looks pretty close when you look at where the bookstore was and what it looks like now and it's new.
I never knew this. This is wild.
I was just sort of testing it out. It also has its flaws. I took a picture of a space that had doors and windows and it completely strips it of doors and windows. And so it turned into this sort of white box. It was like, how do you get in and out of that space? So, you know, obviously there are problems with it, but it was able to create something that I wasn't going to be able to visually represent.
Right.
And when you're talking about space, particularly a space where people are living or working or learning and they're really invested in it and they feel like that's part of their identity, when they can see it and they feel like, oh, that's when it's,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's more 3D, you know, not a one-dimensional just kind of napkin style, which is what I would have done, kind of squiggling around. Mm-hmm. It gave people a sense of like, oh, that, yeah, okay, that could work.
I think for me, I spend a lot of time with you and with Ellen, and you both not only really like to talk about space, which by the way, I think that space at a public higher education institution might be the number one commodity, because there's so few things that we can actually negotiate about and move around, and so space becomes really, really important to people. It's like something they can get. But you both and others on our executive team are really good at kind of visualizing where things are, how they might move around, and I'm as you are all learning, limited in many ways. But this is another way that I'm limited. And I found that those images really kind of drove home for me what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw it happened for other people too. So it wasn't just the AI.
Yeah.
I mean, AI is cool, but it was kind of using it to change hearts and minds.
Yeah, because it's a storytelling, and to be able to shape like this is what could be. It won't be necessarily perfect, but this is what it could
be.
Did
you know that would work? Like when you were like thinking that, because I wouldn't have necessarily thought that it could do that, because
I had no idea if it was going to work. And I think there were areas where it worked, you know, really well. And okay, I can see how I could take this space and kind of make it generic, and then once it's generic, put in some desks or put in some tables, and in some cases it was able to create something that looked like it was the actual space with some modifications. Yeah. In other cases, it was like, okay, that doesn't make any sense at all. So it was really limited. But again, I'm really limited when it comes to my experience with AI. So, you know, I think it was a cool test case.
That's great. I think that takes us to the end of this segment. Again, we are broadcasting from Bristol Community College in Fall River, and we will be back right after this.
Did you know that we are currently registering volunteers to march in not one, not two, but three upcoming parades? We have the Berkshire Pride Parade on Saturday, June 20th, the 4th of July Parade on, you guessed it, Saturday, July 4th, and the Fall Foliage Parade in North Adams on Sunday, October 4th. You can volunteer to support BCC by marching in these parades with us. Just look for the email from Akinyemi Blackshear with the link to sign up and support your community college.
And we are back, broadcasting from Bristol Community College at the Teaching, Learning, and Student Development Conference. Again, just an enormous amount of gratitude to our friends at Bristol for letting us do this today. This last segment is pretty short, Christina, but I think we'd be interested to hear what's going on in your personal life. You've got those two beautiful little boys. How are they doing?
I do. I have a 4-year-old, Gabe, and a 2.5-year-old, Jaden, and they are rambunctious and loud, and they have lots and lots of energy. Gabe is exploding with vocabulary. That's probably not what you thought I was going to say, but vocabulary. And really fun, and loves to talk about new ideas. And isn't that a great idea, Mommy? And what do you think about we'll get donuts and then we'll go to the library? Like, just lots of fun, cool ideas. And Jaden is just absolutely obsessed with his older brother. Mm-hmm. So he just thinks that the sun rises and sets by Gabe. And he's 2.5 and is not exploding with language, but lots and lots of noises and screams and laughter. And so they're really fun. They keep me on my toes, my husband and I. So that takes up most of my time that's
what?
Not
Why?
At work. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other parts of my time I'm spending between like trying to clean up after them, prepare in advance.
Yeah.
And I spend a little bit of time trying to get outdoors and run a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure, Adam is my running partner for right now. So
and
we'll see.
He probably doesn't push you in front of dogs anymore.
That was that one time. Yeah, he did push me in front of that dog.
I did. You didn't mind.
There was this tiny dog that was like on the side of the road and came like coming out and didn't. It was like not even near us. And Adam like fully threw me on the side of the road and was like, "Oh no, this dog is coming."
I threw you on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's what happened. Yep.
I maybe still have, I don't know. I have an irrational fear of dogs. But we got a dog last December, and it's been kind of a life changing thing for us. And she's very, very sweet, though. She doesn't really like other people that much. She likes you.
She likes me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Thanks.
Yeah. I was, Christina and I spread vicious rumors for years that you were terrified of dogs.
Yeah.
Everyone. And not only were you terrified, that you hated dogs. People were like, how can Adam hate dogs? I'm convinced you have a dog because that rumor was like, I went all in.
I don't hate dogs. I was very, very afraid of them. I will say that I've learned over the years that instead of being honest about this kind of thing, just tell people you have allergies.
That's also
people will feel badly for you and they'll leave you alone. But if you're like, yeah, I don't really like dogs, then they're like, you're an evil,
so
horrible person and you should be fired.
You can dislike cats though, and it's totally normal. As someone who has 6 cats, I'm just saying, you can dislike them and it's very normal. So.
I don't know about that.
Well, our dear listeners, thank you so much for joining the most recent episode of this podcast. Could have been an email. Christina, thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me back and like letting me come to the other BCC to do it.
Yeah. I think that we often leave these conversations thinking about how lucky we are to work with great people. And as I talked about earlier, really people who work at community colleges do it because they believe in the mission. That's the thing that makes these really great organizations. And that's been really driven home today at this conference. Every session I've been to, every keynote speaker that we've heard, every side conversation I've had has really centered around the work that we do to positively impact the lives of the people that we serve. Our speaker this morning talked about coming to and leaving things with gratitude. And I certainly feel that very deeply inside of myself. So thanks for listening.
You're listening to this podcast could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.
Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klepetar, for submitting the proposal to the Teaching and Learning and Student Development Conference that made this live show happen. If you're listening to it, though, it's no longer live. Special thanks to Christina Nguyen for being our favorite guest, now twice in a row. Thanks to Schwa Visser for doing the behind-the-scenes work that keeps this podcast from sounding like it was recorded inside a washing machine. As always, special thanks to Alzi Mercado and to Dave Cachet at PCTV. And finally, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in week after week and proving that, unlike Cher debating freeway driving, you're not afraid of a little commitment. My name is Jonas Ikes, and you're listening to this podcast could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.